Good morning, everybody, and welcome to episode 75 of the weekly Ask the Accountant show. As per usual, Aaron and myself are sat around these mics, ready to give you an update on all the latest news. Of course, welcome, Mr. Patrick. How are you, and how was your week and weekend?
Yeah, it's good, thank you. Went to London, an impromptu trip to London to go see QuickBooks, so that was fun for everyone. That was a really, really insightful little trip to go and see some of the US management. So it was really, really impactful. Good week, thank you. What about yourself, Jan? You have a good one? I know we both kind of left this saying we've got a week of just staying in the office and cracking on with work, and I think never goes to plan, does it? There's always stuff that cracks off.
That's it, everything always kicks off. No, I had a good week. I was I've spent most of the week testing time tracking for Client Engager, the new release coming out over Easter. Just refining our own internal processes to take that into account. A week of variety for me, with between client meetings and supporting team members with their clients, along with Client Engager and everything else. So yeah, it was a good week, all in all. Not too bad at all. Thank you very much. And of course, we wouldn't be here and we wouldn't be chatting live if it wasn't for all of our followers and people that tune in live every morning. So let's say good morning to them. So good morning to Dave. Good morning to Paul. Good morning to Cheryl, Kirsty, and Natasha. So thank you very much. Of course, if you are tuning in as we go live on a Monday morning, why not ask your questions or share your points of view on the articles we are discussing? And you can do that by putting your comments in the comments boxes on whatever platform you are listening to us on. We've also got a few people on Instagram following us. So good morning to anyone on Instagram. Unfortunately, Instagram doesn't do very well at telling us who's following, and we have to check a different list for comments, but such is life. Wasn't very much going on in the tech world, really, was there, Aaron, this week to talk about? But we have got plenty to talk about when it comes to legislation and government authorities causing us all a little bit more hassle and a little bit of our mind space going to work out what the bloody hell they're playing at. So if you've not seen it already, and I'm sure you have, because it was all over LinkedIn and it was all over Facebook, and even the BBC picked up on this one. Like, the BBC don't often pick up on HMRC stories, but they were all over this one as well. HMRC, at the start of this week, of last week, turned around and said, we're going to scrap the self-assessment helplines for people that need help between April and September. We're also only going to open the VAT helplines on the 1st to the 7th of each month. And if you want to try and deal with a refund, don't call HMRC's PayYE line. This, as you can imagine, went down like a lead balloon. This did not go well. Aaron, what are your thoughts on, though, before, obviously, we know they reverted on all of that, but what were your thoughts when this first came out, other than I need to do a social media post?
I think the thing that we have to remember is that HMRC, 5 years ago now, maybe 6 years ago, promised all these tools we were getting as agents. They were going to give us these access to change tax codes. We were going to be able to request refunds properly. We were going to be able to set all this other stuff up and go into real data. And I know a lot of that has been, we'll just part that because MTD's around the corner. So why build it for the old legacy system when we could ensure it's available for the new system? But HMRC being HMRC, they keep delaying MTD, they keep pushing that back. And even if we go into that MTD portal now, those new features aren't there anyway. So we don't have those tools to be able to help our clients to be able to do it. And the only option we have is calling them. So if they'd have given us the tools, at least for us as agents and accountants, we could go, yeah, it's a nightmare, but you know, for our clients, we've still got you sorted, because we could just log in and solve these problems in the back end. And and you can get on your merry way, and that adds value to the accountant, right? And that's another reason why accountants and business advisors could be useful. But the fact we don't have those tools just means that they're just asking for trouble, really, aren't they? They're asking for backlash. They're asking for people to be annoyed because there's no other way to solve these issues. And what if you send a letter in, you've got 180 days and your working days, and it'll come back, or even longer now, isn't it? I can't remember what the latest one is.
Not sure what it is at the moment, but it's not good.
Right. So what options do we have? You know, like there's the chatbot. But even the chatbot kind of breaks every now and again, and you can only get so far with it. And last time I used it, it says, click this link to call the helpline. That was a waste of 20 minutes of my life then, wasn't it? So,
yeah. And just so people are aware, like, accountants and bookkeepers have got far better things to do than spend 3 hours on hold to HMRC. Like, HMRC, we don't want to be on the phone to you. If you gave us the tools, we wouldn't call you, because it would be easier to do it ourselves. It didn't surprise me when they announced it, because they had trialed it last year. And I'm not sure how you gauge that trial as a success or not, because, you know, I mean, you're not allowing people to call in, so you're not gathering data to work out how many people you've not spoken to and how many problems you've not solved. It was a bit, yeah. Any measurement could have been seen as a success for that one. But the next day, by lunchtime, the government had applied pressure. The social media and the media had applied pressure, and they decided to U-turn on that one. So a lot of proactive accountants and bookkeepers have yet again gone straight onto their social media, straight onto their bulk emailing solutions, and gone, clients, you need to be aware of this. We can only support you as best we can when we've got the tools around us. And then, so they've been proactive. They've been, because we're told we've got to be proactive with this stuff. Inform your clients as soon as you know. And then the next day, in the next afternoon, you're emailing and say, ignore all of that. It's the same issue that we had with the pickups and the cabs on pickups.
Yeah.
Like, it makes us look like idiots. Like, oh, did you fall for some fake news or something? Like, was it all clickbait? Like, what's going on? It is damaging, to say the least, to us. And at what point do you go, I might hold off in future, and I might give it a couple of weeks? But then you've got to think, right, when does this change come into force? Well, in theory, it was going to come into force within 2 weeks. So if we turn around on the 5th of April saying, oh, by the way, as of tomorrow, then we wouldn't have been able to be seen as proactive at that point. Just standard
surely
HMRC.
Surely from the timing point of view, wouldn't it be better to have that, if they need that downtime to, I don't know, train the staff or to put some new systems in place? Because I'd hope that there was a reason for this and it wasn't just, oh, we're a bit tired, so we're gonna take some extended leave or something. I hope there was a system update, or there was something in planned to roll out. But surely, timing wise, wouldn't it have been better to do between 31st of January and 5th of April? Isn't that like a, because most of this is self assessment issues, isn't it? I suppose PAYE wise, that might be an issue because you're coming towards the end of a PAYE year end. But they could stagger it, right? And
yeah.
And the PYE one could have been, you know.
I don't think there's a perfect time for it. Like, in February, you think, self-assessment's out of the way. Actually, all of those late filing self-assessments and questions are coming in. So that would keep the helplines busy. And, yeah, it's just a bit of a nightmare when it comes to dealing and being seen as proactive and informing your clients, really, isn't it? It's just, you can't do wrong, right for wrong, really, which is irritating, to say the least.
I suppose the problem is some of the clients just turn around and go, well, it's not my problem. You know, we pay you for a service, and it's like, yeah. And in their world, it's surely you can just do this. You've asked for a 648 off me, so you can have access to my portal. And surely you can just sort this out. That's the perception, right? And Unfortunately, that's not the case. And again, if we had those tools that we were promised, then this wouldn't be an issue. There wouldn't be such a stink because everyone would be in a better place because we would just be able to go in and sort these issues out. It just beggars belief, really, that we're still in a stage where we have to jump on a phone call to change a tax code or to issue a refund in certain situations. Yeah, like we could do it for certain tax codes and taxes, but we can't do it for all of them. So
yeah,
just give us a tool and we can do it.
Yeah, my wife is a PayYE employee, always has been, and she moved jobs last year, and she's still been unable to successfully change her tax code. Like, we've given up now. We've just said, we'll wait until we get to the end of the PayYE year. HMRC will evaluate it and realise she's overpaid tax and give a refund. But actually, this started in June last year. We should have been able to go into her portal and update them with her employment, and it's just not worked. So, yeah, it's just an absolute disaster over at HMRC. If anyone ran their business the way HMRC is run, you wouldn't be in business.
Yeah. Irony.
Their only saving grace is that they've got government backing, so they can't fail, even though they fail daily. So, so got a couple of comments coming in on this. So Paul W on YouTube says, that's all I seem to be doing in the past 3 to 4 months, 30 to 40 minutes wait time, and that's if you get through before my next client meeting. Yeah, we've actually taken someone off the cold face of client meetings so that they can be on hold long enough to have a conversation with HMRC.
Well, we have because we have a morning meeting, and every morning meeting it's right, who do we need to call tomorrow morning, like 9 o'clock on the dot or earlier if we can, and who's going to sit there dealing with client XYZ. Like, every single meeting it's a race to get into that first 9 o'clock on the dot call. It's just, yeah, it's how you have to run your business these days, isn't it?
Yeah, and the majority of guys that in my team that deal with HMRC, their calendars don't allow bookings before 11 o'clock in the morning, because that way we're not interrupted by client meetings while we're trying to deal with HMRC. Yeah. However, that should never have to be the case.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, that just reduces your capacity to help your client. That's all you're doing. Because yeah. you could be using that time far more effectively than being on hold and to HMRC. So,
yeah. Rebecca on Instagram says, I think HMRC have been firefighting since the pandemic, haven't really recovered. I think that's a very fair comment. They've just never recovered from the pandemic at all, have they? And their focus has never been on the right areas to keep the majority of people happy. Very fair point there. Cheryl on YouTube says, I've got numerous employees on a BR tax code when they've moved jobs, despite HMRC saying they can rectify it within 2 weeks, even when I've had the P45. Yeah, and that is exactly what my wife's been dealing with. And, you know, we got to the point, it's like, do we make me, like, can we try and make me an authorized agent for her to deal with it? At which point, by the time we've got all of that through, it's like, no. Like, we just need to ride this out. But we're in a very fortunate position financially where a change in her tax code, reducing her monthly income, isn't the end of the world for our personal finances. And we'll get the money back, and it's technically a little savings pot. But I am very aware that I'm in a very fortunate position to be able to look at it that way. Yeah. And so many people are not. Like, they need that extra 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 pounds a month that HMRC are currently taxing them and shouldn't be, to pay their bills, to put food on the table. Like, yeah, that's the ultimate impact of this, is they're taking people's money out of people's wages that they shouldn't be, and people are having to try and budget for that.
Yeah, exactly. And again, we were promised this tool 5 years ago to be able to just go in and change it ourselves. And yeah, I completely agree, or don't agree, but I understand the logic of, well, let's not build the tool twice. If we're going to build it, let's build it properly and get it done the first time. And that's why they chose to do it on the new MTD platform, haven't they? They've said, right, well,
yeah,
let's build it there. And you can kind of understand, well, that's fair logic. It's a cop out, but it's fair logic, yeah. Right?
It's logical that, you know, we'll build it. But then they forgot that implies that they're going to have to build a tool sufficiently powerful enough to work, which they never did manage to do.
And if it's on the new MTD platform, sometimes it might be quicker to phone them up anyway, because it's a nightmare to navigate, nightmare to be able to actually find your client. You never know if you've got a 648 in place or not with this new crazy system where you have to put the clients.
Oh, yeah. You're authorized to see their details on your portal, but that doesn't authorize you to speak to us. Is that what? Hey?
Yeah. And surely the priority is to make it feature parity to the old portal. So when this new MTD, when they finally get around to tax code notification changes and all that sort of stuff, it's going to be a while, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I would like to say, surely it makes sense for any software company or developers to go, right, this is the old system. This is the new one. We need to make sure that there's feature parity before we release the new one. Unfortunately, HMRC are not the only ones that fall foul of that.
Question, and you might not know now, might have to find out, but there's a load of APIs released for the MTD portal, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of them haven't been used. Is one of those a tax code change?
I haven't looked at those APIs. I know there's like an API for MTD VAT agent authorization. That means you don't have to log into the government website at all, which has been there for 5 years. And no PM tool or anyone else has thought to use it. Like, so when our developers at Client Engager turned around to us and said, we found this, it's like, are you sure? Just go back and double check that. Because why would no one else have tapped into this API if it's there?
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, we're on that.
if there is an API that did it,
then great.
Find a solution. Someone to take that on. I mean, like, Client Engager,
Employment Hero.
Yeah. I'm not sure Employment Hero is, because you don't want it on the payroll platform. It needs to be kind of connected to personal tax, right? That's where you'd, that's really where you want it to be connected to. But yeah, a PM tool or something like
If you're dealing with it on behalf of the employee of your client, you wouldn't have their details on your PM tool. If they've sent you a P45 to show you, this is my tax code, or this is my tax.
Yeah, and this is technically the employer shouldn't be changing the tax code, right? Like, that's
not there.
So that's all I was thinking. You should really, like you've already said with Claire, like you should already have authority to change the tax code, right? But either way, like if there was an API out there to do it, this could be an opportunity to really help accountants, right?
Definitely. Definitely. Cool. Okay. So let's move on from that debacle. This seems to have slipped out there again. And I don't know, what is it with Companies House at the moment making announcements? But everyone goes, excuse me, just double take that. I'm sorry, you did what now?
And they've realized they're a bit out of date with updates at the moment, haven't they? So they just do them all at the same time.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, our friends in America need to watch this and see what we're doing in the UK and go, oh, that solves that problem. So basically, Companies House have now released a update where we're changing the company size threshold. So let me just get this brought up on my screen. So for a micro entity up until now, well, up until the 1st of October 2024, a micro entity had an annual turnover of 632,000. That, as of the 1st of October, will be up to £1 million. A balance sheet of 316K for a micro entity now goes up to 500K. Small businesses are going to go from 10.2 million turnover to 15 million, with a balance sheet of 5.1 million up to 7.5 million. Medium businesses are also going to be changing. So basically, what we're doing here is potentially bringing in loads of businesses out of the audit remit to help reduce bureaucracy. And also, these turnover rates and stuff, these have all been based on what a pound was worth years ago compared to today. So in my mind, these increases make sense. However, we need some more insight on this from Companies House to confirm that what we think is going to happen is going to happen. So apparently 5,000 large businesses are now going to be reclassified as medium. 13,000 medium-sized businesses will now be small companies, and 113,000 small companies will now be micro-entities. Now, in theory, does that mean that you no longer have to have your accounts potentially audited until you hit the 15 million mark instead of the 10 million mark? That's the first big question that's not really been answered here. Now, if that is the case, then what a great way to deal with the lack of talent coming through the accounting world. Like, ultimately, there's less and less people becoming chartered accountants and going into audit roles because it's seen as a very tedious way and hard work to get into with very little reward. If you look in America, they're having major, major issues where they've just not got enough accountants to deal with the amount of auditing work that there is. So how do we tackle this? Do we recruit people? Do we change people's opinion of the accounting world? No, we're just up the threshold so less people are impacted. But that's like, that's 113,000 that's 13,000 businesses that are no longer potentially subject to audits. For the auditing companies out there, that's a big kick in the teeth. Because that's business they're not now getting potentially.
For the smaller ones, it does, right? It's them that are going to be affected. It's the smaller auditing teams, isn't it? Your big boys don't care about this because if anything, they probably didn't make any money off those smaller audits anyway.
From the business point of view, you sat there going, oh, that's a couple of grand a year saved for me. That's a lot less time and hassle. Yeah. Like, happy days. So America, if you are listening, and I'm sure we influence America in the same way we influence HMRC, Ask the Accountant podcast has the weight behind it. Rather than working out, should we slash the 150-hour rule of training on top of my and experience on top of my qualifications, etc., just up the limits. That's the way around it. You know, you don't have a recruitment problem if you've not got the demand. So what are your thoughts on this, Aaron?
Well, first of all, I was questioning those numbers in terms of the amount that affected. I thought there'd be more than that. I forget what you said. It was like 15,000 and 13,000 or something.
13,000 will go from medium to small.
Yeah.
Which technically means they're no longer in audit range. We're changing the audit benchmarks.
But it feels like there should be more than that, right? Like, the amount of companies out there and everything else, it feels like it. Maybe at that threshold, there isn't as many as you think. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Is this going to be positive for people who, or businesses, you know how the VAT threshold stunts growth? Is this the same argument? Can we say that, you know, is the audit threshold something that stunts growth for people that, you know, businesses are like you said, you know, maybe they can't afford to jump in the audit range, or maybe it's a case that, you know what, it's a lot of hassle for not much reward from our business point of view. Is this going to encourage people to continue growth? Is that fair to say?
I think so. And, you know, let's face it, the VAT threshold increase was pathetic. $5,000, like some businesses will do that in a week or two, and that's it. They've now stumped again. Whereas $5 million, like, that allows these people to double their businesses. Before they have to think about auditing again. So if they've been sat under that 10 million mark going, no, we don't go over this, even if we've got opportunities, because we're not going to go into the audit range. All of a sudden, from October onwards, these guys have got the opportunity to double their business without any extra bureaucracy, in theory. So that's great. The 113,000 small companies now becoming micro entities. That one's interesting because if it wasn't for the other Companies House changes, that would make a lot less bureaucracy for them. But seeing as now everyone's, this doesn't supersede that Economy and Crime Corporate Transparency Act 2023, which means we've all got to put our P&Ls on Companies House in some form. But yeah, like, there's a lot more grants and public funding for micro entities out there. During COVID, micro entities had access to a lot more support than larger businesses did in theory. So, yeah, although I did see a post on LinkedIn over the week going, you've worked really hard to be able to class yourself as a small business, and all of a sudden you're now a micro entity. Was that a badge of honor? Should we care whether we're a micro entity or a small business or a medium business? Do people measure themselves on that? I don't think they do. Personally,
it's a fair point to make. But I mean, I don't know about you guys, but we never really took advantage of micro entity status anyway. It was just for us, it was an extra, you know, we'd had to prepare the accounts anyway for corporation tax purposes. So why then having to create a whole other statement that's going to file to company's house? But that was just our choice to kind of do that. But yeah, maybe it's worthwhile starting to do that now with all the new rules that are coming in. Maybe it is now time to everyone who is micro entity should definitely be posting it, because, you know, you're going to protect yourself against as much information you can.
Yeah.
It's good news. Like the more people in that micro entity brand, I think it's going to be better, and it potentially means even more people could have a go at filing their own limited company accounts. I'm having a lot of conversation with clients at the moment about that whole conversation between moving from sole trader to limited company, and it's that realization, you know, they've been filing their own sole trader for forever and happy to do it, but they need to, you know, push into to do it for going limited. They need an accountant, but, you know, is there an opportunity that if there's bigger range that more people can do it themselves? Arguably, that's what micro entity was supposed to be, right? It's supposed to be more of a user friendly approach and something. It was supposed to be that, wasn't it? I don't feel like it ever hit that. Even and they're going to get more complicated, right? So less of a chance of that. But in theory, that's what it was designed to be. It was designed to be more of an opportunity for small business to complete their own accounts and, you know, stay compliant without having to, you know, pay for an accountant sort of idea. But I don't see that's realistically going to help, is it? But yeah. At least this way round, software vendors are going to find it easier, right? Like at the moment, if you look at QuickBooks's release of their latest, you know, update, and they started doing accounts production, well, they went straight for micro entity because it's the easiest one to do, so it makes sense to do that.
So now they have 113,000 micro entities from target.
So in that respect, it's easier for them to create these accounts and everything else. So potentially it's better for them that way.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a really good point. Cool. Okay, let's get off bureaucracy. Well, kind of. Let's go on to a different type of bureaucracy. Social media. We all love a bit of social media. So we've got two updates in this area. One is LinkedIn. So I've not looked at this properly. So Aaron, talk me through what my beloved LinkedIn system's doing to me. I don't know about anyone else, but the algorithm seems to be working in my favor again. I've gone from struggling to get 4,000 or 5,000 impressions a week with daily posts. So, and I'm now like 25,000 to 33,000 impressions a week again. So, and I've not really changed my content or anything like that. It's just like the LinkedIn algorithm seems to have kind of gone back to how it was before autumn last year when it suddenly had a change. So I'm in love again with LinkedIn. So if you can not upset me too much, but if you can let me know what my beloved platform of choice is going to be doing to my account going forwards.
Well, obviously every social media platform needs updates, and obviously every platform is just, you're always waiting for that new update to help you, right? And just give you that opportunity. And we know with LinkedIn, like the video platform still needs a bit of work, and there's a few niggly bits, and the algorithm seems to be better, but there's still ways in which it could be improved, and there's definitely room for improvement there. So obviously
the algorithm still doesn't like live streams or videos. Like
And
I'll get a third of impressions for this live stream than I would a normal post.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, Aaron, this whole podcasting my luck is actually damaging my reach right now.
Well, this could improve your reach, because we've learned that LinkedIn is working on new games experience. That's right, games experience. It'll be doing so by tapping into some same wave of puzzle mania that helps simple games like Wordle find viral success and millions of players. So their idea is to create some really simple games options within LinkedIn that you can then have some sort of ranking system in your company to be able to show off against rival companies or people in your audience. So forget the curly whirly adventures going forward. Now it should be which accounting firms gets the biggest score on Cross Climb, Blueprint, and whatever games are Queens, and some other games that are coming out. So yeah, I mean, it's Microsoft, right? They have a pretty successful gaming division called Xbox, so that could be something that's like driving towards us. They're not saying that, but you know, Microsoft are pretty good at that sort of thing, and they've just bought, they spent, what was it, £7 billion last summer on a load of franchises, Activision and ZeniMax, I think they're called, which is like a mobile first one. So they're obviously trying to find ways to get these out into the platform. Hey, are we sure LinkedIn's the right place? That's for a debate. And B, from an employer point of view, you know, LinkedIn's one of the only ones where we encourage our staff to be on there, right? Like, it's good for us that they go on there. Can we really also encourage them to go and beat that high score so that we can be top of a new leaderboard and push for success? It just, yeah, it's an odd update, isn't it? And I'm not 100% sure. Unless they do get a new Wordle, like Wordle took over, right? And that was a huge boom. I just don't know. I don't know what they're thinking here.
I mean, where do you start? I mean, you've already got people on LinkedIn going, oh, it's not Facebook. Stop posting pictures of you walking your dog and telling us how bad your day was. This isn't Facebook. This is a business platform.
Now Farmville's coming, basically.
But now, yeah. So, and then I'm sat there on LinkedIn, be like interacting with posts, commenting, react, like scrolling through. I get in the ear from the wife, are you on LinkedIn again? So yeah, but I'm working. Like, this is technically, I'm building a network.
Yeah.
Now, are you, or are you playing Farmville? Like, are you playing games on LinkedIn, aren't you? So yeah, I am not sure this is the right direction that they need to go in. Like, I think there's bigger issues they could be fixing, like the ability to be seen proactively with videos and live streams.
Yeah.
The ability to allow us to answer, to choose multiple things on a poll instead of just one. Yeah.
Really, they should be pushing the community basis, right? Like, if they, for us, if we could leave Facebook, we would in a heartbeat, right?
Oh.
If we could replace, like, Client Engage is a huge example of how successful and powerful a Facebook group could be.
Yeah.
But realistically, even on Facebook, like, you know yourself, the only reason you even have the Facebook app on your phone is to go into those communities. That's it. Like, you're not there trying to find out who's just had toast in the morning, right? Like, that's not what you're using Facebook for. But if they can make the communities in LinkedIn like Facebook, we're on to a winner, right? Like, that's what they should be focusing on. Because that's what drives community. And I'm not sure a game of Queens or whatever they want to choose to throw at this is going to be the one that's going to push community and engagement.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And, you know, like, as you say, Client Engage is a prime example. Six-figure bookkeepers, prime example of how to build a community very quickly and very easily. Natasha Everard's bookkeeping and accounting support group, you know, 10,000 plus members. Like, yeah, you can build such a strong community, which becomes the ambassador of your teachings, your personal brand, or your company. Like, Client Engager, we're approaching 1,200 users, 1,200 firms in that, and people in that community. Most are silent. Others are very active. And It's through demonstrating our response times in there by answering questions and stuff, and by showing and sharing insights to the software, that we are doing so well, because we're seen as very open and transparent.
Yeah.
And LinkedIn's just never, ever got that way with pages or communities or groups or whatever you want to call them. If it would be incredible.
Isn't it because it doesn't go on your feed or anything, and it's quite clunky to get to anything? It was just never built around communities, right? It's built around individuals, LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's all about personal brand on LinkedIn, recruitment and stuff, and that's fine. But rather than messing around with games to try and build a community, actually follow the example of Facebook. Now is the prime opportunity, which actually leads us nicely into our next article.
Well, before we go on that, though, that point about the fact that follow the example of Facebook. Well, Facebook went to a mobile gaming experience feature, whatever you want to call it, right? They went into that whole thing. There was a Facebook gaming app at some point, dedicated just Farmville and all of those other things. But what was it, a couple of years ago? I don't know. I can't remember how long ago it was, but they closed that down. They were like,
lack of interaction.
Clearly this wasn't going to work. And that's Facebook. And that's in the best possible world, that is the perfect target audience for these, you know, viral games or whatever you want to call them, right? Because I get the competition side of things. I feel like that's something that might be a little bit more compelling. You're part of a team. You know, can Boffics get a better score over the week than On Point Accounting, right? Maybe that's going to be something, right? Yeah. Because one person did it in Boffics, no one did it in On Point. But, you know, maybe there is something there, right? It can QuickBooks into it beat Xero, you know, is there more bragging rights that could happen? Potentially, yeah. Maybe that's something that we could get out of this, because maybe there's an opportunity there. I just don't know. I mean, I like the idea of gamification of it all, and the fact that they're trying to do it on a think basis. But again, as an employer, do you really want your team to be sat there trying to smash out a game of whatever just to...
Doesn't sound like it's going to increase productivity and efficiency, does it?
Exactly. I ruined your perfect segue. Go for it.
Yeah. So whilst Facebook has already shown that gaming doesn't really work on social media in that way, and, you know, because how many games can you share how you're doing with an app on your phone and no one used it? Because mainly you didn't want your mates knowing you played that game, because that's a little bit embarrassing. But then if LinkedIn had all these groups and the opportunity to build communities, whatever they want to call it, we could then stream into those groups and communities like we are right now. However, from the 1st of April, I believe, StreamYard will no longer be allowed to stream into Facebook groups in a direct way.
Which, in fairness, is no platform can.
Bit of a problem. No one can. So Ecamm's going to be scrapped. StreamYard's going to be scrapped. Facebook have said no more live streaming from a separate software into Facebook groups, which leaves me with a bit of a headache, because by next Wednesday, I need to work out what the bloody hell I'm doing for Client Engage's weekly live Q&A session. I think I've got a solution, but it's a bit backwards.
Yeah, I mean, but they want you, they're forcing you to use their platform, right? To go into their terrible, but their platform Facebook. Subpar. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, like you and I have spoken to people like Natasha Everard about streaming into her groups and doing some work for her and stuff. Can't do that anymore. Like, just doesn't happen anymore because of these new rules from Facebook. But if anything, I suppose what this really shows and reminds everyone is no one controls that. That's not your asset to control.
Yep.
That Facebook group is subject to Facebook's own whims and decisions. It's not yours. One of the guys I listen to a lot on YouTube, a guy called Mark Ellis, is always saying, right, do whatever you want anywhere, but the heart of everything's got to be your website, because you control that website. You own that domain. You control everything about it. Whereas everything else is building an audience from different places, but you have no control. Diminishing rate of control, he calls it. And he's completely right. And this is a prime example of Facebook have decided to switch the switch that no longer allows you to do live streams from just about any software. And now we're having to find a workaround. Now, my plan is to use Ecamm and as a virtual camera, but that's a 30 quid a month subscription. So if you're not monetizing your group and stuff, then it's not necessarily the way you want to do it. But my theory is by using Ecamm as a virtual camera, that means I can still do my opening credits, my background music, everything I normally do, and stream through. And I'll tell Facebook Linked Live that's the camera to look at. That should get me all my audio and visual effects. And then I'm going to have to use Facebook's their commenting section and stuff to try. But it's compared to the simplicity we have on StreamYard, which is what we're using for this platform today, it's going to be subpar. Yeah. Like, this is going to be damaging our brand's approach and the quality of the delivery of our sessions, because we can't use better tools, because Facebook's just gone, no, not enough people are using our tool, so we'll turn it off so you can't use theirs. But if you're looking at how you're going to overcome this, assuming you are streaming to only one platform, being Facebook group, then the Ecamm as a virtual camera should be the solution for you, I think.
Mac only, I remember.
That is Mac only, yes.
Yeah.
So if you're on a Windows laptop, you've got no chance.
Well, it's OBS. OBS is the Windows equivalent. But
yeah. Compared to Ecamm, OBS is quite hard work and complex. 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like complete overkill for what you need. Ecamm's not far from overkill. Like, there's a lot of complexity in it, but just about get our heads around it. But yeah, like, there was no notice of this, was there? I mean, we found this out, last week we saw this, and it comes into a force next week.
Yeah.
And there's so many accountants, bookkeepers, business coaches out there that use tools like Ecamm and StreamYard to stream to multiple platforms. I mean, my StreamYard currently is streaming to two platforms. How many is yours going to? Like,
yeah. Eight? Yeah, I mean, we go to 12 in all, don't we? 12.
Yeah. So we're going to 12 different platforms, including Facebook groups. Well, next week, we're not going to be going to those Facebook groups. So actually what Facebook's done here is they've reduced the amount of content going onto their platform, because we need to decide, do we go to that one place, which has got very little traction for us, or do we go everywhere else? So yeah, unfortunately, Facebook groups will not be getting live streams from us anymore until they reverse this change.
Yeah, Zoom meetings and then upload my community later.
That's not a live experience.
You're building your brand through live, right? Like, that's where it's coming from. I mean, the other option is, you could do to YouTube and post that as a link into the group and have it as a private one that no one can see. That's just it. You're not going to get those Facebook notifications, are you? Like, that's what drives people in. 7:30 comes along on a Wednesday and the phone pops up and says, Johan's gone live or Client Engage has gone live. There's like a huge draw there to bring people in, isn't there?
And you and I know how hard it is to move an audience. So, like, my audience was, and it still is, majority LinkedIn. To try and drive that audience to a new platform because of the rules, like trying to drive an audience from Facebook to YouTube is going to be flipping hard work. Now, in theory, you can then deliver everything you're doing on Facebook groups now and whether it's through private notification, whatever it is, it can be done in a roundabout way. But trying to move 10, 15, 20,000 people from one platform to another just to adopt, just so they can keep listening to your content, you've got to look at the value proposition. And most people will go, it's not worth it. Because that's all that this is, you know, like using Twitch or Discord or whatever else. Like most people will go, well, I don't use that for anything else. I'll just wait for this to come live on the podcast or something.
Yeah.
So, interesting, interesting times.
It's interesting, but it doesn't make much sense. I think that's the frustration, right? Like if there was a, if it was other than just Facebook throwing their toys out the pram, then we'd be able to sit there and go, oh, that makes sense. Like, I mean, maybe there isn't, just not telling us, but if there was a security issue and this was a way of, you know, there was this huge security issue and this was a way of being able to combat it, then fair enough. Kill it for now and give it back when the security issue is fixed, right? But the wording is, at the moment, is they're just killing it and they're never going to bring it back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It is just Facebook reminding us all that they control their platform, not those outside. Yeah. And you have no control over it.
Because how convoluted is it? And Facebook's still the same company as Instagram, right? We're live to Instagram now, but we've had to jump through this hoop, that hoop, and everything else. And in theory, I think you can still jump through those hoops and do it on Facebook. There is a way of doing that. So maybe that's the way to look at it. That's like, yeah, it's, that's just going to cause more hassle for the likes of you to be able to deliver the same solution you've been delivering for what, a year now, 2 years, whatever the time frame is.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been doing Facebook Lives every Wednesday, give or take every Wednesday, for 14 months, no problems at all.
Yeah.
I now can't do that as easily. Like, it was literally a case of schedule it into the Facebook group just so people knew it was coming up and what we were going to cover.
Yeah.
Followed by me turning up and going, here we go. Like, press live and go. Whereas, and, you know, in the last few weeks, we've tried to improve that, the production of it, shall we say, with opening credits and a countdown to going live, because we know people need a bit of time to get ready and stuff. So yeah, we've just got it to a really good point, and now I'm having to revisit it all, going, shit, how do I maintain the status quo, especially with all the production stuff. Like, that gets more and more complex. So yeah, just remember, people, social media, you don't control it. It's only as good for you as they decide to make it for you. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, do we need to just have ask the accountant website and just tell everyone to go there instead to watch us live?
But then you don't get the notification. It's no notification.
You don't get notification. You don't get the comments like we've got here. So, like, Natasha's going to be working this weekend to resolve this. And that's the biggest thing is, people are now having to invest time to work out how they're going to work around this.
Time and money, right? Because some of them, like, are going to have to buy eCam now, are going to have to move to a Mac, well, maybe, because it's,
I was just
more...
going to say, I know Natasha has only just invested in a new laptop. That's not a Mac. Now, you and I could have told her that was a mistake to start with, but that's just our Apple boy fandom speaking. Like, but, you know, eCam, I think it's going to be...
We're not allowed to say too much. We have to be really nice. Remember, she gave us a present.
eCams is going to be my solution, but it's only available to me because I'm in the Apple ecosystem. That is not a cheap ecosystem to get into. Like, it's just, it is quite expensive. But yeah, I don't know how Windows users are going to be able to work around this.
It's OBS, and I guess it's a steep learning curve, but that's what they're going to have to do.
That is a lot of time on YouTube watching OBS how-to videos.
Exactly.
A lot of time. I mean, I like to think I'm fairly tech competent. Like, not to the level you are, Aaron, but I get by. And I've watched OBS in videos before and gone, I don't even know what they're talking about right now. I'm lost. How far in are we? 20 seconds. Crap.
But, right. But in fairness, OBS works better on a PC because they can optimize the graphics card, whereas they can't in a Mac.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. But still, you're right. It's a lot of hard work for what should never be an issue, right? We should just be able to continue as we are. I mean, we pay X amount for StreamYard anyway. Like,
yep.
They should see the fact that people have invested money to stream to those platforms. But yeah.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
Nope. We'll have to look at it and see. So, that, yeah, basically that means we're going to be running two platforms now. Well, I am anyway, just so I can maintain Client Engager and then the rest, then yes, the accountant branding and stuff. So that'll be fun. Cool. Okay. One last topic I wanted to cover this week. Having come back and recovered now from Fab, which was incredible, you'll have hopefully all seen the grid walk went live last Friday, which is proving a very popular video, Aaron. Like, it's picking up.
I've got to say, I think it was our best grid walk in terms of energy and talking to people and giving some insights of it all. We've learned a lot from a technical point of view. I think there's stuff we can improve on, and we know that. Like, that's on us. We've got to figure that out. But I think as a concept, I think we're starting to nail that. And if you haven't seen it, please do. I mean, it's brilliant piece of content and shows what Fab was all about, right? Like, really gives an insight to what they were about.
Yeah, and Fab have reached out and said they were really impressed with it. They're really grateful for what we've created there. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg, because as of next week onwards, we're going to be releasing all the podcast pit stops one episode a week. So that'll be fantastic. And then they've obviously now started to recover, because they're now talking about what they've got coming up, which their next big event for the guys that organise Fab will be the Accounting Excellence Awards in October, I want to say. October, something like that. But the application window is open. So if you want to apply to become a bookkeeping firm of the year or accounting firm of the year or any other of the year awards that they have, my understanding is they have some new awards coming. So watch this space. But yeah, it is a very good event. I went not last year, the year before when we were there. I was there in London for it. It was a very, very good event. It was a bit surreal because it was literally we were all having our welcome drinks and everyone's phone started pinging to say the Queen had died. So that whole evening was a bit surreal, but even so, it was a very, very well-organized event. Really good to see all the big names of accounting industry in there, having some drinks and some food and socializing, and of course, recognizing the achievements of those that had been nominated or won awards. But yeah, that is now live for you to apply. So definitely worth getting your applications in. Aaron, you got any top tips on for people that are doing their applications?
Not really, because I've never done one. So,
no, I haven't either. I've just never had the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's always been one of those where I forgot. But maybe this is the first year where we can dedicate some time. Although we're going to be busy that night, so maybe we shouldn't put applications in, because maybe we should be concentrating on our job in hand. What's our job, Jan?
So the plan is that we will be working with Accounting Excellence Awards. So we will be there, hopefully podcasting live, if not just creating loads and loads of content for them to show off all the awards, the nominees and the award winners. So watch this space, because that will be coming out October, November time.
We're hoping for like a red carpet experience, aren't we? That's what we're...
Yes.
In our heads, that's what we're trying to replicate. So
definitely.
Could be interesting.
So yeah, that'll be really good. I'm looking forward to that. But if you want to see us before then, don't forget, we will be at Accountex. We are the official podcast provider for Accountex London. We will have a big stand where we'll be podcasting all day, both days. We've got various other things going on. We're speaking. We are interviewing some very big name guests as well throughout the whole 2 days. Basically, we'll either be sat talking to someone on a microphone, or we will be running around. Like, Aaron and I are both bringing in our social media people to be able to just keep on top of everything and capture everything for us, because we're going to be that busy. But we will be there. Come and say hello. Come and get your top trump cards. Yep. Because they are, the social media hype behind them is just phenomenal. Like, especially now we've got our shiny ones. Everyone gets excited to see if they can get a shiny. So yeah, make sure you come and see us.
And obviously we'll be doing a grid walk as well. And
we will be doing the grid walk.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really think an event should be an event without a grid walk now, in my personal humble opinion, because that's where you get to show the behind the scenes, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Like, that's the opportunity to showcase, you know, those bits that people don't know, because by the time people normally get there, the place is full and, you know, you're overwhelmed and everything else. But we get that little bit before it starts, go in behind, see what all the hard work people have done. I mean, just the level of detail that both accountants
have done. Because there's people still setting up at that point.
Yeah. Like, and every vendor's brought their own little bit to it and everything else. And we want to do it justice. So yeah, I'm looking forward to having another opportunity to do a grid walk, and yeah, it'd be good fun.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm looking forward to that. Although it might be more than a 20-minute video, this one.
Yeah.
Because it's a...
Maybe we'd have to do it both days. One. Maybe it's a grid walk both days.
Yeah, part one and part two.
Depending on the how much we celebrate the night before, but we'll see. We'll see how that is on the...
Yes. That is the downside to these things, isn't it? Like, they are long days for us. Like, I think I had 8 hours kip over 2 or 3 days. Like, it was killer. Accountex London is looking phenomenal. So we will be there. We'll do our grid walk as per usual, and we're podcasting, so watch out for the links for our diaries coming out soon, so you can book in to get your podcast interview with us booked. If you've already had one, we ask that you let others take part instead. But we are looking forward to doing another 15 to 20 podcasts over the 2 days, and then putting those out over the weeks to following the event, basically. Cool. Okay, Aaron, what have you got coming up this week?
Shall we just quickly do the comments and then...
Yes. Let's go through the comments.
So Paul says, look out, you could be hosting them like Ant and Deck. Yeah, that could work, right? We follow their line, might go through from there. Natasha does say she has
be able to use a lot smaller budget than what they would if they pay for some of the other hosts they pay.
True. Natasha has a Mac too, so that could work. Kirsty says, oh, she did get the Quest 3 and her son's loving it, so that's great news. Glad to see that's helped, and I'm hope he enjoys it. What else we got? Paul also said, I stepped away from Facebook because it's so distracting at work and there was too many cat videos. Kirsty says, Amy Hannock loves audit. What does that do to you? So it'd be great if Amy could come back to us at some point and let us know how they're doing on that one. And just quickly on this one, Lee St. Anne says, good morning. A bit late joining this morning. I had a quick question on QBO working papers, basically saying that the section when reviewed, second person logs in and it changes it. Second person promised me they didn't click on it and happened a few times. All I can say to that is there's a big update to working papers coming either this week or next week. It was a problem we've noticed. So hopefully, fingers crossed, you'll see a huge UI change to it. And hopefully that change will also be implemented as well. So fingers crossed for it. So go on then. What have you got for this week, Jan?
I'm off this week. I'm leaving this office in the next 5 minutes, getting in the car and driving down to see my dad for the week. So very low input on Client Engager, and my team are looking after the on-point accounting. So that's great. But then on Thursday, my interview, the long-awaited interview the reason I had to go to Sage head office back in November, my podcast with Firm Up will be live on Thursday. So I've already seen the footage. It looks really good. That definitely they've got amazing mics and cameras there, Blackmagic and Shure mics, and yeah, incredible piece of kit, which has worked magic, basically. But I will be talking all things about me, my background, and acquisitions, and what I look for in acquisitions and stuff. So, yeah, looking forward to that episode going live on Thursday. So that's me for the week. Bit of R&R. keep an eye on a few things with Client Engager, a bit of final testing of time tracking, which comes out around the Easter weekend. But yeah, that would be my big video of the week, is my podcast for FirmUp. So looking forward to that.
And we also won't be here live next Monday. The first time we've ever had one off, but yeah, we'll be back bigger and stronger the week after, won't we? So yeah.
Definitely bigger, considering the reason we can't do Monday next week is it's Easter Monday and we will both be in chocolate hangovers.
Yeah, although to be fair, we've had Easter eggs all through the last like 5 weeks, so yeah.
Oh, I haven't. I've been good.
We've definitely not been good.
Yeah, no, I've been very good. I've not touched mine yet. But yeah, no, we won't be here next week. Shock, horror. However, one of our episodes of Podcast Pit Stops with Eriona, of all people, will be going live this time next week. So you can all watch that instead while finishing off the remains of your Easter eggs.
There we are. So, yeah, we're still around, even if it is in it'll be good. It'll be good to have some time off. Some R&R, like you said. Like Kirsty says, oh, enjoy the chocolate and happy Easter and day off. Happy Easter to all. Yep. Anything else you want to talk about, Jan?
Nope, nothing from me. What are you up to this week?
Just trying to survive. work, just get the work done and yeah, just go through it and see how it goes. So all good. All good. Cool. Fantastic. Brilliant. Well, right. Have a good Easter, everyone.
Yeah, I hope everyone enjoys their Easter. We will be back in 2 weeks' time with 2 weeks' worth of news and content. I'm not sure how we're going to fit that all in. Hopefully people have a bit of a quiet time for softwares and news over the next 2 weeks. Enjoy your Easters. Don't eat too much chocolate like Aaron and I will. But we will see you all in 2 weeks' time. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Bye for now.